Welcome into episode 137 of the Natural Hat Trick Podcast. I'm Luke Lipinski alongside Craig Morgan, the Natty Hattie, and Jamie Eisner.
I have no words.
What is going on?
Well,
what is this?
Hockey is happening.
No, what is the sound? Somebody gonna explain? Or am I the only one hearing this?
Do you not follow current events, Luke?
I try.
Are you not aware of what's happening in the world?
This is really soothing, I gotta be honest. It's taking me to a happy place. I assume we're gonna talk Olympic hockey. And the gold medal game between Germany and OAR. Does OAR do a cover of this song? Because that would bring it all together.
Yes, that would be perfect. Okay, you can kill that now. Yes. Yes, Germany has done the unthinkable against whatever that shell of a Canadian roster was that was on the Olympic ice sheet. Early this morning, Germany defeated Canada in the Olympic semifinals 4-3, hanging on, and they will play for gold. Did a little research this morning. And if my research is correct, and that is always in question, Germany has never won better than a bronze medal at the Olympics in men's ice hockey. They won bronze in 1932 at Lake Placid, won bronze in 1976 at Innsbruck, Austria. They're going to do better than that this season.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if my research is correct, they will finish with at least a silver in 2018. So this is what we get, right? If you don't have NHL players in the Olympics, you get
Germany.
You get subpar hockey and Germany against a country that isn't a country in the final.
Yes, Germany against the Olympic flag.
Matthias Plakta, by the way.
Which, again, had a whole different meaning about 70 years ago.
Well, look, I was one of those people that was like, I'll watch Olympic hockey no matter what. And I didn't even necessarily feel like we had to have NHLers at first. And I've still watched, but I now have turned the other way. We need NHL players.
There were NHL players on the ice today. Matthias Plakta scored for Germany, and he, as Jamie and I discussed earlier, didn't even have a cup of coffee with the Coyotes.
No. There's a lot of players in this tournament that had a cup of coffee or less.
Joubert Brûlé.
Yep, Joubert Brûlé. Yeah, there were
a lot of goon, the Canadian goon.
So
was thrown out of the game this morning. I don't know if anyone was up. I was actually up watching this game. Were you up watching this game?
I was not.
Yeah.
What time was it on? I'm still trying to convert from
10, I think, is when they dropped the puck.
Pyeongchang time to Arizona time. It's not working for me.
Could you say that again, please?
No, I can't. I've been up too long trying to figure out what time it is. Because they just convert to, quote, American time, but they don't say, like, what part of America. So, yeah. No, I didn't see the game.
Okay. Well, I just look on Canadian sites when I want hockey schedules. They're usually pretty accurate.
Even those have been suspect, though, throughout this tournament.
So, is this the part where I can crow about the fact that I did predict Russia to win the gold medal at men's Olympic ice hockey?
Well,
I think you guys took Sweden.
We'll
need to talk about that with a friend of the show at some point.
Yes.
Well, they didn't play their best player, so that's – I didn't realize they were point shaving in the Olympics.
Well, to be fair, Team Sweden has a history of not playing their best players.
That's also true.
That would have been a good Erik Karlsson segue, but we need to talk a little more Olympic hockey because the U.S. women won the gold medal as well.
Wait, you're not going to crow about picking Russia to win even though they might still lose?
I already did that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'll come back to that when they win gold medal. But I am rooting for Germany because that would be a cool story.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
It's Team Europe almost winning the World Cup.
Yeah, I do like the unpredictability of it. I like that about, the NCAA tournament is probably the best example we have because too many sports are predictable. So I would like to see Germany win. But the U.S. women win gold, but they did it in a shootout. In a shootout for a gold medal?
I always, it's for as fun as sometimes these shootout moments in the Olympics can be, there's just something that just leaves a sour taste in your mouth when the gold medal game. I understand if you want to end the bronze medal game or any of the other games, but the gold medal game you should play until somebody
gets it. Got to be a golden goal, right?
Yeah.
What is the logic behind it?
The Lemieux's move on the shootout was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It was insane.
It was so much better than any move any American man put on the Czech Republic goalie where none of them actually shot the puck. They just rammed it into his pad.
Yeah.
What is the logic behind feeling the need to go to a shootout in the gold medal game? Like, do they honestly think people won't stay up and watch it? That game ended at like 2 in the morning Eastern time anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just an awful decision. Change it.
Yeah.
There is no logic behind it. Yeah, let's just say that.
They can decide to just change it for the gold medal game.
There are no more games coming. This is the last game.
Last one.
Play until someone wins.
And honestly, that would have made it even more epic if that went like three overtimes or something. Absolutely. And it's 4-on-4, so it's not going to go that many overtimes. Like, that's the other thing. They have changed that over the years. It's not like they're going to play for 9 hours. And if they do, everybody will be talking about it. Yeah, and there's not a game tomorrow, so that's...
By the way, the U.S. also beat Canada in curling, as Mark Lazarus pointed out. You know, RIP Canada. I'm sure he's doing just fine on social media. He's had a good run recently.
Not the best Olympics of all time for Canada.
Well, they are ahead of the U.S. in the medals table. So.
Not the best Olympics of all time for the U.S. either.
No, definitely not. Maybe Norway is cleaning up.
Yes. Not the best Olympics of all time in general. But hold on Norway, how many people live in Norway?
I don't know. Google, help me here. Alexa, how many?
Not that many.
It's in the other office.
And they are winning every single medal.
Magic Man's looking it up.
Like the percentage.
That's what I call Chris Schubert, by the way. I'm not calling him leftovers.
A little over 5.2 million.
Okay, and they have like 6.2 medals.
Don't you love it when some sites do the per capita medals? I love looking at those tables to see where the U.S. actually ranks per population.
I haven't seen those, but that's what I'm looking for, because really Norway's got to be like 1-2 for everybody.
It's as interesting as looking at electoral maps and seeing that Wyoming's votes count 4 times as much, or maybe just 2 times as much as New Yorkers. I think it's 4 times as much.
So just looking up like these...
that's a problem.
The three top stories involving Norway right now, according to Google, are why is tiny Norway, which is apparently a thing, because there are two articles that refer to them as tiny Norway.
Maybe that's a nickname for a city in Norway. No,
it's really not tiny, I mean, compared to other countries.
And then
one other
article that just says, another reason Norwegians are the worst.
Oh,
wow. That had to be
from Politico EU.
Wow. They don't even do anything in hockey, and yet here they are, just dominating.
Winning every other medal except for hockey.
It's not tiny, by the way. I mean, you got Liechtenstein, you got Luxembourg, you've got... Never mind.
How much do their electoral votes count? In comparison to New York. Yeah. No. I mean, I've enjoyed the Olympics overall, but the men's hockey tournament, it's not... I'm with you, Craig, in the sense that I like the unpredictability. Like, I'm sick of... On some level, I was sick of going into every year with, hey, Canada has an absolute all-star team, so it's 3 or 4 other teams trying to knock off Canada. Like, that's not that entertaining to me.
I agree. It's like the dream team in basketball for the U.S., right? Yeah. It's dull.
But the caliber of hockey wasn't great.
Agreed.
And that they need to find a happy medium there, whether it's like we've talked about on the show in the past, where you're taking basically it's like a World Junior tournament or whatever, something like that, because this was an odd mix of... It's not amateurs, because a lot of these guys have played professionally, but it's not the best of the best either. So you need you need to find... This is not the happy medium.
Hopefully we don't have this. Well, I'm torn on this too, because I don't know what's going to... You saw Gary Bettman's comments today from the Sloan Sports Conference saying he's not sure if they're going to Beijing. So we'll see. That, of course, is a negotiating ploy.
Of course.
All right, let's
see. The PA and the NHL are not talking at all anymore.
How much money the players have to give back.
Yes, or what else they have to give back. Player tracking system, all that stuff.
No, that's after Jamie's next predicted lockout anyway. Yes. So a lot of stuff can change there.
It's good for me. Seabrook buyout. I like it.
Appliance buyouts. Woo!
Starting to think Chicago might need more than a Brent Seabrook buyout.
Are you on board? Do we establish this? Is Luke fully on board?
Yeah, we played the audio clip.
Okay,
it lives forever.
I've been on the air.
Blackhawks are not making the playoffs.
Do they even play anymore?
The Blackhawks?
Yeah,
sure.
I think they won the other night.
Oh.
They did. They beat Ottawa in like a shootout, right?
They did.
All right. I think they won
another game, but it
only shows one in a row. So,
speaking of Ottawa, Erik Karlsson.
Hey, look at that. See how I just tee that up for you?
I had to tee you up to tee me up, and it was like a give and go pass that didn't go very well through the neutral zone. Do we think
that's exactly what it was? That's exactly what I was thinking, Luke.
Yeah, it was like a give and go pass that got intercepted, like after the second one, and now we're looking the other way for a shorthanded goal. Erik Karlsson, do we really think
we need to work through this analogy more? Because I got nothing.
Why do we have to work through it again? I think it's pretty clear. Okay, a give and go pass is when player A passes the puck to player B and then goes and kicks the puck from player B.
Got it. No, yes. I'm aware of the terminology.
All right.
The application to that transition is a little hazy for me.
You found a way to make it somehow more awkward, which is impressive in its own right. Do you guys have any interest in talking about Erik Karlsson?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I'm fascinated by this.
You guys don't like talking about Ottawa, though, so I know you're emotional. Well,
yes, but it's fun to talk about the best player on their team who's not going to be on their team. Well, I mean, Bob McKenzie has a terrific thread on this. the bullet points here are it's going to be really hard to do. Ottawa would like to throw in Bobby Ryan's contract, which has 4 years remaining at a $7.25 million cap hit. So yes, that's tough for a lot of teams to take on, especially playoff teams like Tampa. I don't know how that works. Maybe they give some on that. Maybe they don't have to do this. Maybe Tampa can give them enough in return to make it happen. But Erik Karlsson is actually on the trade block. He's actually on the trade block. Ottawa is going to give up this asset. Not going to, but they're willing to. They're willing to listen, which is insanity to me.
This is my prediction. If Ottawa, if it's out there, and this is coming from reputable sources, if it's out there that Ottawa is willing to part with Erik Karlsson, in my mind, he's gone, right? There's 30 other teams that all should be lining up to find a way to add him. So I hear what you're saying, that it's tough for a playoff team to take on Bobby Ryan's contract, but I don't think it's just playoff teams that should be lining up for Erik Karlsson at this point. He signed for another year, and
anyone should be lining up for this player.
I mean, he's the sort of player that you get a deal done the day after you trade for him, and he's on your team for another 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're legitimately talking
he's a superstar.
top five player.
Yes, without question.
Could have won the MVP superstar last year.
Yes. So, how old is Erik Karlsson now?
27.
Yeah.
I
mean, this is a game changer.
He's in his prime and will be for the next 5 years probably.
What do you think Ottawa can realistically expect back for him? Because if this is my problem if I'm a Senators fan, which I guess at that point I'd have other problems too, but if their objective is just to get rid of Bobby Ryan's contract, that doesn't work. Like, I need a number one center.
Well, no, I mean, they'll get assets. The problem is that's now almost $14 million in cap space you're trying to – another team has to clear out. So yeah. Tampa Bay would have to clear out $12 million back in a trade. Now, assuming that maybe Ottawa retains part of that, but where do you get that from? Because, like, I'm looking at Tampa, for example, because that's the team that's been floated out there, and they would win. They would just hand them the cup now if they got him. Who are you going to give back? Because I don't know if Ottawa's going to want to take on these 2 or 3 year deals of high salary, or they would have just keep Bobby Ryan. Like, you have Stroman at 2 years, Colbert at 2 years, Girardi at 2 years, Ryan Callahan 3 years. I mean, I don't know where you make $12 million of cap space.
I don't understand why you can't come up with money for Erik Karlsson. Honestly.
Well, that's an Ottawa problem.
Yeah,
not a Tampa Bay problem.
But that would, again, that worries me that their objective for trading him is to shave cap space. Not just him, but if it's to throw Bobby Ryan in too, like, that should be priority number five.
And we've talked a lot about the issues with ownership there, right? And Eugene Melnyk's comments have been very clear. He's not going to bankroll a team. If I'm an Ottawa Senators fan right now, I'm deeply depressed because my owner really isn't trying to win.
And basically it's giving the clear impression he can't afford the hockey team he owns.
Chris Kunitz basically ruined the Senators by scoring that goal last year, because there's a chance they would have at least lost to Nashville in the Stanley Cup.
And actually, Chris Kunitz might be somebody that goes back in a deal for Erik Karlsson.
See, everything comes full circle.
It's just pointless to talk about which teams might be interested, because we can probably list every team.
They're
in the
all NHL. Interested.
Everyone should
who
be
can
interested
do it?
Here. Yeah, who can do it?
Well, who can do it? That's a
you
different
need,
conversation.
You need the
to
cap
have.
Space and the prospects.
Yeah.
Let's and we can all think of a few teams that have cap space and prospects. Let's play the percentage game here, okay?
The Coyotes, are we talking about here?
Right, that's one of the teams. They're not the only team, but they are a team that has cap space and prospects. Let's
and a penchant for Swedish defensemen.
Seriously, they would play their Swedish defensemen unlike Sweden. So, wow. Let's just all
you're
let
just
our minds
bitter because,
wander.
You know, you guys took Sweden and I didn't.
Not as bitter as Sebastian.
True.
I just if Rasmus Dahlin's going to be the number one pick in the draft, as we've heard for a year now, and he's basically the only player that we know is going to be in the NHL next year playing in the Olympic tournament, why can't I see him for more than 2 minutes and 59 seconds?
Red flag. He's plummeting down the draft board now.
Yeah, now he's undraftable.
So are we back to this
teams that could get
crazy, insane hypothetical that the Coyotes could trade for Erik Karlsson?
That wasn't the percentage game I was going to play, but we can play that.
So what would you send in return? Two names come to mind for me right away, Jacob Chychrun and Max Domi. Would be included in a package. You probably have to give up your first-round pick
this
year as well.
Yeah.
Now, to be clear, that first-round pick, if the Coyotes trade it, will be the number one pick overall. So just be aware of that. So it's possible.
It'll be Rasmus Dahl.
But also, Erik Karlsson.
Yeah. Look, you know my feelings on Erik Karlsson. I would trade almost anything to get him on almost any team. But And also, if that were to happen, Craig has to wear the wig at every home game. I mean, let's just be fair.
I will do that, actually.
Happily.
Yeah.
So are you willing to give up Jacob Chychrun, Max Domi, and Rasmus Dahlin for Erik Karlsson?
Yes, if I'm the card, yes. Yes.
I think I am, too, and I like all of those players and that pick. But I just can't believe Ottawa's potentially willing to trade him. So here's the percentage game. If actually, hold on. Do you think that would be enough, or would Ottawa ask for more?
That needs to be enough. Well,
You're taking Bobby Ryan's contract, too.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, that is a commitment from ownership to spend not only the money to pay for Bobby Ryan, but then to pay for the extension you're about to give to Erik Karlsson. Because you can't do that for a year and a half of Erik Karlsson. So it's a complete waste of time.
I'd have a harder time parting with Chychrun than the number one pick, almost.
Not when you have a lineup that's got Ekman Larson and Jarmerson and Karlsson.
Yeah. I mean, if you could find a way where your top defensive pairing is Oliver Ekman Larson and Erik Karlsson.
Well, and here's the other thing. Jarmerson
is your second pairing. Like,
I want people to understand that this is incredibly hypothetical.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, so we're
spitballing here.
Every city should be doing this. Unlikely.
If you bring Erik Karlsson in, at that point,
accelerates your timeline.
Well, it accelerates your timeline, but when you look at what they have on their blue line, you could entertain the possibility of trading Oliver Ekman Larson this offseason.
You could.
You need a number one center.
That's the only scenario that you would trade him at that point, right?
Yes. Because that's the only way I would ever trade Oliver Ekman Larson is for a number one center.
What's the point of if you had to make the trade that we're throwing out there, where you're giving up Chychrun and whatever, a top three pick or something, to get Erik Karlsson? I understand there's always a point to get Erik Karlsson, but doesn't it make it more beneficial if you can find a way to keep Oliver Ekman Larson too?
Sure.
Yes,
sure,
but you also couldn't trade your first round pick, Max Domi, and Jacob Chychrun for a number one center.
And here's the thing, you got to sign Ekman Larson too. So are you going to be able to take two of those contracts on your blue line?
Plus Bobby Ryan?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, that becomes an ownership question.
You've already got Alex Goligoski, Jason Demers, Nicholas Shaughnessy for at least another year. And now Erik Karlsson in the mix. And again, hypothetical, okay?
Very hypothetical, because I think the Coyotes
and Theo Joseph coming up in your system. So, yeah, you could trade Ekman Larson at that point. Could you find a number one center? I don't know. What's available?
I don't want to trade OEL.
No, I don't think John Chyka does either. But in this scenario, you'd almost have to, right? How can you afford that on your blue line?
Well, that's the thing to...
Alex Goligoski signed for a long time, too.
Yeah. That's the thing to remember, too, with this draft pick. Let's say it's not number one. Let's say they go down the path of every other Phoenix sports team and get, like, the third pick when they should get the first. There's not really a center there. We've said this on the show before, that the top-rated center is coming in around 9 or 10. I mean, you can draft whoever you want, but...
I agree to an extent. I just, when I look back at past drafts, there were centers there. Matthew Barzal was there. You know, the guys...
So you're saying take a center if they have the third pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If it's not going to be Dahlin, take a center. You need that position. Take the best center available and then develop him.
I agree with that, but there's no guarantee. I guess what I'm saying is it's not like years past. Well, yeah. Okay, but it's not like Jack Eichel or Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid are there.
Agreed.
And even with a guy like Barzal, there's not necessarily players there at that position this year that are viewed the way Barzal was viewed in his year. There were just so many other good players that year that he kind of got lost in the shuffle. But if you just look at his individual
round,
scouting report.
I mean, again, they're scratch-off tickets to some extent. You can scout as much as you want. They're scratch-off tickets. And just because you take somebody in the top 10 doesn't mean they're going to be great. Just because you take somebody in the second round doesn't mean they're not going to make it. It's just you're playing the percentages.
Drafting such young players, it's just impossible to tell what's going to happen in like that four-year window when they're maturing physically. Anyway.
All right, the percentage game.
Okay.
Do you want to go back and do the give-and-go analogy again? Or?
Yeah, go back to that one.
All right, we'll do that at the very end of the show.
Shorthanded breakaway the other way.
Yeah, because if you turn over the puck on the give-and-go, you give up the shorthanded breakaway the other way. I've seen this happen recently. So the percentage game is with the trade deadline on Monday. What percentage chance do we think that Erik Karlsson is on a different team by Tuesday?
I still think it's low. I don't know what that percentage is, but it's low because it's a really difficult package to work. I mean, especially if Bobby Ryan has to be included, it's a difficult thing to work.
Yeah, I'd say 15%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15.
Just because you also don't have to trade him at the deadline.
Well,
he's still signed next year.
See, now you're getting the second part of my question.
Yeah, you can trade him in the summer.
So the urgency to trade him isn't at a high level.
You guys are ruining the game. What's the percentage? Oh, go ahead.
I think in the summer you have more options because teams are willing to trade NHL players. Playoff teams are willing to trade NHL players at that point.
Eric Carlson gets traded at any point?
Well, in the summer, let's say around the draft. Like, are we at 50-50 now?
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
I would say...
You're above 50-50?
I would say too. Look, if they're making it clear that they're open to this, it sounds like we're not going to re-sign them.
I love it. This is chaos.
There's a 90% chance.
90%?
In the next 365 days. 90%.
To Chicago for Brent Seabrook? Craig, you okay?
Well, how on earth could Chicago afford Bobby Ryan?
By getting rid of... Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. Stan Bowman would find a way. He knows how to take on contracts. I love this. Nothing against Ottawa. And
no, it's unfortunate for that fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it from that respect.
Player of this caliber.
Okay, so Brent Seabrook and Brandon Saad for Bobby Ryan and Eric Carlson. I'll do it.
I think
Ottawa
way
will
over
not,
the cap.
Of course.
You're way over the cap still.
Is the cap going up $15 million?
That is an outlandish trade proposal. That's not happening.
So Jonathan Toews and...
There you go, Jonathan Toews. Yeah, because Ottawa wants to take on a $10.5 million cap hit.
That's why this is going to be such a tough deal to pull off. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Who are some other teams that we're looking at? Is just
Carlson?
Everyone.
That's why I said everyone has to be exploring this at least.
Everyone has to be exploring it. But Chicago, for example, is not realistic. Who are some other realistic teams?
Teams that have a lot of money available. So look at the bottom.
Colorado,
Carolina, Edmonton. Oh, my God. What about Edmonton? Edmonton needs a defenseman desperately. You know what would have worked really well for Edmonton? If they had a guy like Taylor Hall to trade in a package. You could have got a good defenseman.
All right, let's go down that path.
Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle and your first-round pick for Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
That would have been a nice starting point for
Edmonton.
Absolutely
would have gotten it done, right? There's no way Ottawa would say no to that in the position they're in if they feel like they have to trade Eric Carlson.
Oh, here's another fun one to think about.
Okay.
Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring them up. What about Vegas? Got a lot of money coming off the books next year.
Forget this building window as an expansion team. We're just going to be good from the start and remain good.
What if you got Carlson right now?
But here's the problem. What on earth are they going to give Ottawa? Other than Kaepernick.
That's the issue.
They
have 700 draft picks?
Yeah, but they're not even going to be good draft picks now. They're going to win the cup.
Well, you can give some of them down the road, but yeah, if Carlson is there, maybe they're good.
I mean, that's
I don't know.
Like, yeah, like their first round picks are
Carlson to Carlson.
They could take on Bobby Ryan's contract, though.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what a splash. Vegas comes in, just dominates. Trades for Eric Carlson right on the trade deadline.
I just don't know who they could possibly give them.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, they don't have enough assets to give.
I'm just imagining the George McPhee memes that come out at that point.
Unless you just want to...
Sorry, there are no other teams in the NHL, but they make all the headlines.
3 years worth of first-round picks? Like, I don't know what else you give them.
That's the thing.
You have William Carlson. Marchessault's already going to start making money, although it's only $5 million.
But the more you look at this, the more... We all say, yes, there's 30 teams that should be lined up to try and get Eric Carlson, but you can probably pick out about 15, 16, 17 of them that can't make a deal happen. Either they don't have the cap space to take on Bobby Ryan or they don't have the pieces to give Ottawa to take on Eric Carlson. It's not as simple as, hey, which teams could use Eric Carlson, because that's all of them. Mm-hmm. But now you start to look closer. Colorado is interesting.
They need defense badly. So.
And they have enough young players they can afford to give up a couple forwards.
But who's that forward? Like, you're not giving up Rantanen if you can help it, right?
Yeah, but you might have to.
You might have to, but again, you've got Landeskog, you've got McKinnon.
I'd give up Landeskog.
Yep, I would too.
Yeah.
The only guy I'd say is untouchable is McKinnon.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Sure.
I mean, Kerfoot's been really good. I know you probably would like to keep him around, but you have maybe, you know, Zadorov and forward.
Is there any way New Jersey could pull this off? Because they've got cap space.
They do have cap space. Remember Ryan Clough? His contract comes off the books next year.
Remember Ryan Clough.
I don't know what they... I don't know what they give them. That's the problem. It's like, I don't know what they can offer.
It's going to be interesting to watch. But we should move on because, you know, we don't have Luke for very long.
But this is what I want to talk about. Like, would you give up Hischier? Because they don't have a high pick this year, obviously. They're going to be a playoff team, probably.
Yeah, that center position. But that may be what You need to give
up. How about Winnipeg?
Yeah, Winnipeg's another one fun one to they think about.
Because Enstrom's coming off the books next year. You've got guys like Ehlers, Connor, Patan. Like, you might be able to, without giving up those top, you know, you're not giving up the Scheifele Wheelers of the world. You might be able to pull that off, or Line A's of the world. You might be able to pull that off.
Yeah, if I'm Winnipeg.
If you're Eric Carlson, you're like, wait, Ottawa to Winnipeg? Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Am I destined to play in small markets?
Well, and that's the other factor,
small
too.
Small cold markets?
Is he going to re-sign with you?
Right. And that's probably something that all these teams have to think about. That, well, you know, they explore that ahead of time. So you have a good feel for that.
Yeah, you're going to have that deal essentially done before you make that trade, because nobody's trading for Eric Carlson and giving up what they would have to give up for a year and a half, yeah. Or basically a year. All right, any other names that stand out to you as far as the trade deadline coming up here in a couple days?
It's hard when Eric Carlson's name is out there.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody else, you know, Evander Kane, Ryan McDonough, Rick Nash are some of the guys that are probably going to move.
Although I'm not even convinced anybody's ever going to trade for Evander Kane. He's been on the block for 2 years.
Right. For his entire career, actually.
Yes. It's just I don't know.
There are teams that could use him, though, and he was scoring at a pretty good pace earlier this year.
There just seems to be something that goes on there.
If you're Buffalo, though, you have to trade him. He's not signed.
What are you holding on to him for?
I don't know. But by the way, a Rangers-Devils trade, did that strike you guys as odd?
Yeah, it's sort of weird when they make
deals. But the Rangers have given up, so...
The Rangers have given up.
But that still doesn't mean they need to help the Devils. It just seemed weird to me.
Watching the beginning of their broadcast last night and just their defensive pairings.
It's bad.
What happened to that team?
Well, I forgot the game I was watching the other day. It was the Flyers game. Whether that was Sunday or Monday, whenever that was, when they gave up a zillion goals in every period. And it looked like Lundqvist was going to murder every single member of his team.
It's like the playoffs with 2 years ago.
Every single one.
Pittsburgh finally beat them in the first round, and everybody just quit on Lundqvist.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, Lundqvist can't make a save when they let every Penguin skate right through the middle of the ice.
I have never seen more.
It's like that Coyotes game last night.
Keep in mind, I've watched a lot of Coyotes games the last few years, and I still have never seen more odd man opportunities than the Rangers gave up to the Flyers in that game.
Yeah, that team is... Well, every they wrote that letter, though.
Every time I looked up, there was a 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 for the Flyers.
By the way, before we move on from the trade deadline, do we want to talk about that Coyotes move?
Yes, let's do that.
Jamie described as meh, I think. Yeah.
I couldn't even muster an emotion.
Let's quickly do that. And first, let's clear the air, as Craig and I did on the broadcast last night.
Like this?
Yes, clear your voice on the air.
Right.
They didn't trade for Darcy Kemper to get rid of Antti Raanta.
No, they didn't.
Okay. No.
Doesn't mean that...
He can't be insurance, but I don't think Darcy Kemper's viewed in the same light as Antti Raanta.
Yeah.
Because he's not as good?
Yes, exactly. People can look at, say, he's big, he's come into his own with L.A. Okay,
that's nice.
It's a very small sample size, and he did have that one nice playoff run, but he wasn't very good in Minnesota. Maybe he's reached the point where he's matured enough to be a solid backup. But if that's your insurance plan, if you can't sign Antti Raanta, I don't think that's a very good insurance plan. I think the Coyotes would still need to go out and find a number one goalie. Darcy Kemper might slot in as a very good backup.
And again, even if you are planning re-signing Raanta, you have to be aware of his injury history. You have to be aware that you're probably only going to get 45-50 games probably a season out of him.
It is what it is. I don't know. Do we really know that yet, or was this year an anomaly?
He's been hurt before, even when he's been in the backup role.
I think I'm a little higher on Kemper than you guys are. Like, I think that he's somebody that if he had to start for a month for you, if let's say your number one goalie was hurt, I don't think he'd be in trouble. I think that there's...
He'd be fine, but no, going into a season with him as your number one, I think you can't do that.
But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, he'll be 28 in a couple months. There's similarities, like you guys said, between where he is in his career and where Raanta was. Now, I agree, Raanta looked like a number one goalie last year, and even at times the year before for the Rangers.
Just and wasn't when playing healthy, that this year, clearly does.
But I think there is something to the fact that Kemper's right around that same age. He's huge. He's 6'5". I'm willing to buy in, or at least give him the benefit of the doubt, that he is improved now because he was working with Bill Ranford, and it's not just a fluky, hey, I got 10 wins and 15 starts, whatever, he's 10-1 and 3 with LA. I think that he may have turned the corner, but you're right. I don't want to go into next season with him as a starter. My whole point is I don't think that's John Chyka's plan either. I think the plan is still to keep Raanta.
It absolutely is to re-sign Antti Raanta. Now, you don't know whether that's going to happen or not. You just can't predict that.
No.
What if he wants too much term? Something along those lines. What if Antti Raanta just wants to play somewhere else and isn't being entirely honest? Because have you ever talked to an NHL player who hasn't said, I want to stay here, when you ask them about their future? No, you haven't.
Kyle Turris?
Oh, okay, Kyle Turris.
That's the only
one. There are a few examples. Matt Duchene. But by and large, like 98% of the time, you'll get that response from players. So it's almost Sometimes I feel stupid even asking that question because I know what I'm going to get. It's just the potential of someone saying, yeah, you know, I think I'm looking somewhere else that makes me keep asking the question. Yes. Brad Richardson gave a very honest answer to that. He was the only one who gave an honest answer to that question. But anyway, with this trade, if you believe that he can be a solid backup and the Coyotes' history with starting goalies and injuries the last few years, you know you're going to need to lean on your backup quite a bit. Their history over the last 3 years has shown that to be the case, and they haven't gotten good play from their backups the last couple years. So it makes sense to invest in a backup goalie. You lost Tobias Reeder. Scott Wedgewood, you know, whatever. You gave up another backup goalie. Yeah. That's got to happen. You had to move him off the roster. Toby Reeder, I think, is an NHL player. I think he can help teams in certain areas. He's a very good penalty killer. He's very responsible defensively. But he just wasn't a fit in Rick Tocchet's system. He wasn't his kind of player. So you're okay making this trade if Darcy Kuemper works out. Even if it doesn't pan out, I mean, you lost the bottom of the roster you can replace those guys. As John Chyka said in that conference call, we feel we have other players in our system with the similar skill sets that can fill what Toby Reeder did.
They have a million left-handed shot wingers. That is part of the equation, too. And I think Reeder will fit in well in L.A.
I was going to say, I think he'll produce there.
Kind of happy for him because, you know, he went through those ugly contract negotiations 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It hasn't worked out for him the way he wanted here. And I don't really think he was a big favorite of Rick Tocchet, so a fresh start. I mean, his agent said it when I asked him the other day. He said this will be good for him. He needed a fresh start. So good for Toby, and now Germany's playing for gold, too.
It's true.
We've come full
good
circle.
Week for Toby Reeder.
And you know, talking to Kuemper yesterday, he said he's not coming in with any specific expectations for playing time. So I think that nobody wants to be the backup goalie, but I think he knows that that's his role, at least right now. How do you think Raanta views this move?
Well, I don't want to say that it rattled him a little bit last night because I'm thinking the defensive zone coverage in front of him rattled him a little bit more.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know. These things happen. This is the business. So I hope it didn't impact him at all.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think he should be aware of the situation because Kuemper did this year in L.A. the same thing that Raanta did 2 years ago in New York.
Yeah.
Coming into a situation where you have an established number one goaltender and you coming in as a backup to try to prove yourself and kind of elevate yourself into a situation where you can maybe do a 50-50 split at some point or something closer.
I know you're on board with him, with Kuemper. I still want to see that. Look, he played behind a team that's still very good defensively. Yes. So I want to see how he can do in this role. And he's going to get his chance. He's going to play this weekend in one of these two games, I would guess.
I'm on board with him in the sense that I'm on board with giving him 28 starts a season. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't want him to be the number one going in, but if my tandem is Raanta and Kuemper, I feel pretty good about my goalie situation. Like, it's not like I have, who's even good anymore in the NHL? I can't say Carey Price. It's not like I have Sergei Bobrovsky back there.
Yeah. Speaking of Montreal, bad week for them too.
Yeah. But when Raanta plays, I'm pretty confident in him.
Yeah.
Most, you know, 9 out of 10 nights. And then when he doesn't play, that's been the knock on him. I can throw in a guy that I think will be better than most backups the Coyotes have had lately. How's that? Is that a fair way to put it?
That's fair.
Okay. All right. You guys are going to have to move on without me. I'm going to walk out the door.
NHL news. That's all we really have left.
Maybe I'll just sit here and listen and pretend like I left.
Josh Bailey signed a 6-year deal with an AAV of $5 million. So
it's a monster year.
The question to me is, okay, what about John Tavares?
Yeah.
How come they haven't signed John Tavares?
I just have to have a feeling that...
Yeah, John, we're going to take care of Josh first.
You're trying to bait me to come back on the air here, aren't you?
Kind of.
John Tavares should have been number one priority 2 years ago for the Islanders.
Yeah, I don't quite understand unless John Tavares made it clear that I'm going to see what's out there.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I'm not saying I'm leaving. I'm just going to see what's out there, and then we'll talk.
I'm going to see what you'll have to pay me.
Yeah, here's what you have to match.
Perfect sense.
Here's what you have to match.
Perfect sense.
But again, keeping Josh Bailey around, well,
Luke is unplugging over there. He's unplugging. You can talk from the distance if you want to.
I'm honestly leaving.
Okay.
Obviously, already set a career high in points.
Yeah,
this year I would assume he's got two more goals left in him this season, so we'll set a career high in goals as well. They've been desperately looking for players to put around John Tavares. So again, good thing to lock him up.
A few other items to mention: Austin Matthews. I think everyone's holding their breath. Not just in Toronto. Nobody wants to see this guy go out of the lineup. He was injured late last night. Have an MRI today. It's believed to be a shoulder injury, according to Bob McKenzie.
It's not great.
No, that should have everyone on pins and needles in Toronto. You don't want to see a player like that go out of the playoffs. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Maple Leafs play whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs in the Atlantic, whether it's Boston or Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting either way. Even regardless of that, you never want to see anybody, but particularly high talent players, miss significant time. And it's just unfortunate. But again, it's part of the game. But you don't want to see the McDavids, the Matthews of the world just missing time, especially this time of year.
What about the Philadelphia Flyers? They're 1 point out of first place right now.
They're playing.
This team lost 10 straight games.
Yes.
How do you lose 10 straight games in any season? And
they're on an 8-0-2 run right now.
1 point out of first place. I mean, that speaks as much, I think, to the diminished Metropolitan Division as anything right there.
Yes, you have a very tired Penguins team, a not-as-good Caps team that's still good, but not as good as they've been. They're not dominant.
Yeah,
Columbus is dead.
Yeah, I know New Jersey slipped a bit too from where they were earlier in the season. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen in that division anymore. I really don't.
No,
I think Pittsburgh has an easy exit here. Wow. If I could tee up anything for you before you leave, there it is.
Yeah, Flyers Penguins in round one is what we're potentially looking at.
Which, pretty cool.
Gone really well for the Penguins.
Yeah, which I would hate, but I think everybody else should enjoy. That's my last contribution to the show today.
And we really don't have anything more to add to that. By the way, Johnny Gaudreau, now second in the NHL in points. He's just on a ridiculous run now.
But the Flames can't win.
They did. I mean, they did beat the Coyotes.
Well, to be fair, the Coyotes. They can't win at home. They have the weird.
Do you consider him an MVP candidate at this point?
I think he has to be in the conversation. It's always tough with wingers because you just feel like they impact less of the game than defensemen or centers, or goaltenders even in that fashion. Like, that's the problem. But I don't know where Calgary would be without them because they're
especially this time of year when they've been slipping a little bit. He's doing everything humanly possible to lift them into the playoffs.
And he's been consistent all year, too. It's not like he just got hot recently.
But 32 points in his last 24 games. Yes. He is hot.
Oh, no, he's still hot, but he has been good all season.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of Calgary at this point. I kind of feel like they should be a little further along than they are.
They should be.
And Sam Bennett is one of the reasons they're not, although he was playing on the top line last night, which was an interesting move, and he looked good with them. But, again, that impacts your depth below him. If he were playing better, I think this team would be a little higher in the standings and everybody would be okay with Calgary's progression.
Yeah, I mean, they have problems down the middle. We've talked about that before, where they don't have that high-impact player down the middle, multiple players of that position, which, again, even as good as your wingers are, you can't win without good centers.
All right. Does that do it for us this week?
I think
2 minutes after Luke walks out the door, are we done here?
I think we should mention Luongo's speech.
Oh, you go ahead.
Pre-game, because it was absolutely phenomenal.
In the wake of the Parkland shootings in Florida.
Yeah, and I forgot who said it on Twitter, so I apologize for not giving them credit, but I will echo the sentiment of the NHL is very fortunate to have players like Roberto Luongo in their league and speaking about these topics.
Amen to that. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. On behalf of Jamie Iser and the now-departed Luke Lipinski and the Magic Man, Chris Schubert. Yes, that's his new nickname.
The Magic Man.
I'm Craig Morgan. Thanks for listening to the Natural Hat Trick Podcast.